Now, back to Deirdre.
We now turn our attention to punctuation, and National Punctuation Day is coming up, which is, I didn't even know there was one, but there certainly is. And my guest this morning, Jeff Rubin, is working on National Punctuation Day, and he has programs that go into schools and all over the place. He can answer some of your questions. If you'd like to call us with a question about punctuation, call us at 908-852-1234, and we have some T-shirts and pens and all kinds of things we can give away, certainly something your kids might enjoy. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Deirdre.
Well, now, who would have known there was a National Punctuation Day? Very interesting. Why do we need a National Punctuation Day?
Well, we need a National Punctuation Day, and especially children need to know about punctuation because it's one of the elements with grammar and spelling that improve literacy. And all the studies that I've seen have shown that kids who are literate and who know this information, they read more, and children who read more do better in school, and they end up leading more productive lives. It's all part of the puzzle.
I'm sure that it has a lot, it carries over into the SATs and college entrance and colleges, I imagine, even though some people think that punctuation doesn't really matter anymore, that it certainly does.
Well, it certainly does. In fact, there was a case just a couple of weeks ago in Canada. A company had signed a contract with another company, millions and millions of dollars, and there was a misplaced comma in the contract that did not void a clause that one of the companies thought could be voided, and it ended up costing them millions and millions of dollars, all because there was a second comma in a sentence.
Amazing. Well, that was certainly the basis for, what's her name, Lynn Truss, who wrote Eats, Shoots, and Leaves, and the title of her book.
Yes, an excellent book. Somewhat confusing, though, in the States because British punctuation style is different.
Oh, really?
Yes, they put commas and periods, which they call full stops. Sometimes they put them inside of a closing quote. Sometimes they put them outside. And that was one of the major criticisms of that book is when it was published in America, it was not edited for the U.S. audience. They just reprinted the British version.
Interesting.
So very confusing.
Yeah. Well, it certainly was written in a delightful way. Because
wonderful book.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that a book on punctuation could be that interesting, but it certainly was.
And it brought this to light. Mm-hmm. I created National Punctuation Day a couple of years ago before the book came out because I'm a former newspaper journalist, and I am just very dismayed by what I see in the newspapers and in books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it used to be, when we were growing up, there were never mistakes in books.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're everywhere.
Well, I'm sure that it is difficult for you as a punctuation expert to be reading things and to see the misuse of commas and semicolons and all of those. Hold on, we've got someone with a question for
you.
So, hi, this is Pat.
Yes,
Pat. Hi. What is your question for Jeff?
Well, Jeff just brought it up. I always have a discrepancy of when to use a semicolon and when to use a comma.
Well, that's an easy one. A semicolon separates two independent clauses. An independent clause is a sentence that has a subject and a verb. And so you would put a semicolon between two sentences like that to join them, and they would have to relate to each other. For example, abdominal exercises help prevent back pain. Semicolon. Proper posture is also important.
Okay.
That would take a semicolon. A comma would be placed between conjunctions and dependent clauses.
Well, and did you ask about the difference? I think she was asking about the difference between a semicolon and a colon.
Semicolon and a colon. A colon introduces a list. So if you could say, Jeff was interested in three things, colon, sports, women, and food.
Okay.
Then you would use a colon.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Pat, would you like a packet for yourself or your kids with a T-shirt and pen and all sorts of things for National Punctuation Day?
Sure, that would be great.
Okay, we'll put it under the name of Pat, and it'll be up at the desk at WRNJ.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Bye-bye now.
All right, if anyone else would like to call with a question, feel free, 852-1234, and we'd be glad to take your questions or your comments as well. Jeff, what would you say is the mistake that you see most frequently with punctuation?
The misuse of the apostrophe in the word it's, I-T apostrophe S, mm-hmm. And people think that that's possessive. And I see that so frequently, and on my website, I ask people to send me photographs of incorrectly punctuated signs that they see.
Ah.
And I'll bet 90% of the photographs I have on my website have that error in it.
Well, why don't you clarify that for everyone?
Well, certainly. IT apostrophe S, it's not possessive, is a contraction. It means it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to write a sentence and you wanted it to be possessive and you were using the word it's, I-T-S, that would be possessive with no apostrophe. And the simple way to know it's right is just read the sentence. And if it is, then you know it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And just take out the apostrophe. And oddly enough, I think the reason people get so confused is because this is the only case that I know of where the apostrophe S is not possessive. In all other cases, you would use an apostrophe S, like the Johnson's home.
Mm-hmm.
You would use an apostrophe S for possessive, so I think people just automatically put it after the word it's, but that's not correct.
And then, of course, putting the apostrophe at the end of the word.
Yes. Well, you know, there are a lot of rules about that. If a singular word ends in S, you put apostrophe S. Now, that's according to the Elements of Style, which is a style book. The Associated Press, however, which most newspapers use, has decided to drop the second S. So when you see a word that ends in S and they want it to be possessive, they just put an apostrophe there. So there's a lot of different style books. There's also the Chicago Manual of Style, and they all differ in little ways. So my advice is to pick a style that you're going to use, that you're comfortable with, and use it consistently.
Okay, we need to pause for a break. Can you stay with us?
I'll be here.
Okay, we're going to pause for a break, and if you have questions about punctuation, if you'd like to know about a question mark or an ellipsis or any of these other exotic forms of punctuation, please give us a call, 852-1234. We'll be right back. Yeah, you'd think that you would that people would start to get the idea of the contraction in their head, or the apostrophe, rather, is separating two words.
You know, I think the problem is people really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
With email and text messaging and instant messaging and cell phone communications and Blackberries and Blueberries and all of those gadgets, people, I think, feel it's just not important, which is why I developed the punctuation playtime program for little kids. Because I think it's important that you have to get to them early and at least introduce the concepts of punctuation and grammar and spelling at an early age when they're really young, first grade, second grade, third grade. So at least they'll have some understanding as they progress through the school system.
Good thinking. Fred, we have a T-shirt for you if you'd like to pick it up at the radio station.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, just stop by, and there's a whole press packet here for National Punctuation Day.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Okay, 852-1234 if you'd like to call with a question or a comment. It is, as you mentioned, Jeff, that technology seems to be really putting the kibosh on punctuation. Do you think there may come a time when punctuation is just viewed as unnecessary?
Oh, well, I certainly hope not. That would mean that people would not value writing skills any longer. And I would hate to see a day that happens. So I'm really hoping that's not the case.
Well, as you mentioned, it changes the meaning of a sentence. One comma can change everything. So
that's right.
It is important. It does have its place. What is the difference between using a dash or an ellipsis?
Well, a dash is used to denote a change in thought in a sentence. For example, we will fly to Paris in August, dash, if I get that raise that was promised to me.
Mm-hmm.
You would use an ellipsis. That indicates that something is missing from a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it doesn't take away from the meaning of the sentence, but it lets the reader know that there was something else there, perhaps not so important, but that was taken out. For example, the ceremony honored 12 great athletes, ... visiting the U.S. So it might have said, the ceremony honored 12 great athletes from 13 countries throughout the world visiting the United States. So they took out from 13 countries visiting the world,
mm-hmm.
They put an ellipsis there.
And that would be used primarily when you're quoting?
It can be used in a quote, and it can be used just in a general sentence without a quote.
Hmm. Okay. Today, you know, you mentioned that children are not really learning about punctuation at an early enough age, and so you've developed this program. Where is your program used?
Well, it's a brand new program, and I've just gotten a couple of bookings. I live in the San Francisco area. It's a performance program. My wife and I are going to go into grade schools and actually perform this program. So we're going to clear out the classroom. We're going to put up posters on the walls. We're going to hide punctuation marks in the classroom, and we're going to have a series of activities. There'll be a punctuation relay tag. There'll be pin the apostrophe on the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a punctuation treasure hunt. We're going to take a Dutch children's poem called Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod. It's a wonderful fantasy poem for kids. And we're going to read it to the kids and have a little discussion so we can have a little comprehension exercise. And then we're going to punctuate the first verse. And then to top it all off, we've written a rap song called The Punctuation Rap.
Huh.
And we've recorded it. Three little kids, aged 12, 12, and 9. We went into a recording studio, and we're going to sing the song with the kids. And we're all going to have a great time, and the kids are going to learn about punctuation, and that's the bottom line.
Do you see this as something that you might be able to develop and send to other schools?
Yeah, well, what I hope to do is we're going to video record a couple of the programs later this month, and then we're going to make a CD, and we're going to market it to school districts throughout the country. We're going to call it Punctuation Playtime in a Box. And school districts can buy the full-length version of the program so their teachers can see what we did. And then to help them replicate the program, we're going to send them all the support materials. We've got a 24-page activity kit for the kids, all kinds of punctuation activities they can do at home, either by themselves or with their parents. There's a crossword puzzle and matching games and all kinds of stuff like that. And then we have an activity kit for teachers with maybe 20 or 25 different punctuation activities that they can do in the classroom. If they have an extra 15 minutes, throw in a punctuation activity.
Hmm.
We'll also send them a series of the four posters that we've designed, four punctuation posters, and all kinds of support materials and little tchotchkes like I sent to you, the bookmarks,
mm-hmm.
the calendar, the bumper sticker. all kinds of stuff.
Well, that's it's just terrific. I mean, there is so much more than what we're just touching on here. Let me just close with one final question. What is the difference between you if you were going to use parentheses or brackets?
Parentheses are used to mark off an explanation or a qualifying remark within a sentence. It would be material that you might want to include, but it's not necessary. For example, 35 years after his death, Robert Frost, and then parentheses, we remember him at John Kennedy's inauguration,
mm-hmm.
close parentheses, remains America's favorite poet. So there's a little information mm-hmm. about Robert Frost. We could either include that or not. It's not necessary to put into the sentence. You use brackets to include explanatory words within quoted language. So if you were quoting somebody, and you would use brackets instead of parentheses.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, it's fascinating, something that we all need to work on and put a little more effort into our punctuation.
And think of where we'd be without it.
Well, that's true. We could be in quite a mess. But Jeff Rubin, I thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll have people check out your website, www.nationalpunctuationday.com. You can go to Jeff at nationalpunctuationday.com, and I'm sure you'd be happy to answer any questions.
I answer all my email.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us.
Deirdre, thank you. Have a great day.
All righty now. Bye-bye.
Bye.